We are grateful to the Lord for His precious and holy word. What kind of responsibility is connected with the preaching of the word? No man can assess. Even the closest friends and brothers cannot assess what it means to give account for before God on that day for that what we have preached. And yet we have the certainty, as Brother Branham could say then, or many voices could say to him and call out, "We rest on it." For he could say, "I preached exactly the same what Paul has preached." The message of God is nothing else but what is already written in the Bible, but is now revealed by the Spirit of God and newly put upon the lampstand. I am grateful to Brother Sieg, and I hope that he has spoken out what many of us think and feel. If this would not be so, I would like to remain at home. Many a times I have said it to the Lord, I have preached more than many others, and I would like to lay down the sword of the Spirit. But before that, I would like to have the certainty that God has called somebody and set him and sent him and commissioned him. If I came to know that today, I would sit tomorrow already in the audience. But if it's only people which for many years were not seen and not heard, and then suddenly out of a situation take advantage for themselves and misuse the signboard of Brother Branham or of the message, then this is really nothing else than that what Korah and Dathan and many others also did. I at least had two or three occasions to go from time into eternity. The one at that time when I should travel to India and had booked already the flight from Bombay to Madras, and the Lord said by an audible voice, "Cancel the trip." Everything was arranged, the halls were rented and announced, but the time of my passing was not yet here. You all know, the plane on which I was booked and in which I would have been sitting, if no warning would have come, with 96 passengers, it went up in flames at the takeoff. And not one survived. And the second was at least the thing with malaria, where humanly absolutely no hope was there. And God made all things well. And most certainly, this comes now also for me surprising, but you then enjoy to think back on experiences where God visible and noticeable kept his hand over a man. And so I'm grateful that I may be here to preach his precious and holy word. Until the end, God will keep his own in His Word. In interpretations, all will be entangled who turn away from the Word of God. And may God prevent this. We know what the first interpretation caused in the Garden of Eden, namely separation from God and death. The same will bring the last interpretation, and it can be decorated with scriptures from top to bottom and with quotes of Brother Branham from right to left. It's of no use. The proclamation must line up as a whole, not only one word, but in its entirety. May God bless us now today. We are, however, saddened if we hear that people who heard the true word for many years then turn away. This is a sadness which one hardly can stand. But we finally have to leave everything up to God and know that He makes it well, and the end will then most certainly be crowned. I would like to read two scriptures before we pray. The first from the book of Acts, chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, from verse 4. Perhaps I may ask that we stand up for it. Acts chapter 1, from verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The second word from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 10, verse 1. Zechariah, chapter 10, verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for your precious and holy word. We thank you that we rightfully can call you our Father. Father, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, may it come with all might. Faithful God, we lay before you this gathering in a very special way. We thank you also for the promise of the Father, which is for all children of God. Almighty God, who you have spoken, you also worked, you who you gave promises, you were the one who fulfilled them. Faithful God, today we are at the end of time, in the time of the latter rain. O God, as at the beginning you poured out of your Spirit upon all flesh, so pour also now your Spirit upon all flesh, and in particular upon all true sons and daughters of God. For many are anointed with your Spirit, but they reject your word and don't hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Faithful God, in the midst of all this confusion, you have a called out, a blood-bought multitude, born of the Word and of the Spirit. Lord, I thank you for it. Together we ask you for your blessing. We remember also the two prayer petitions for our sick brethren. We thank you that Brother Schumacher can again be here today. We thank you for everyone whom you touched. Lord, manifest thyself today as the same, as the one who baptizes with the Spirit and fire, as the saving one, as the healing one, as the working one, as the blessing one, as the risen one, and as the soon returning Lord. We place us consciously under the coverage of your blood and under the leading of your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, should today be people here today for the first time, then speak in a special way to their hearts. We thank you together for everything. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. We are very grateful to the Lord that we can be here and hear his word and believe it. Not only hearing it, but to believe it with all our hearts, having an inner agreement to every word of God. It's necessary not just to a few words which we believe at the moment or which we can grasp, which we have always known. It is absolutely necessary to have an inner agreement, a yes, towards every word of God before it can be revealed to us by the Spirit. I think this we can all confirm. If we would only have heard of Brother Branham that there is a promise that a prophet shall come and that God will do something before the return of the Lord, this was only the first part. If we would not have said inwardly yes to it, then we would not have agreed with God. If we would have objected God, then we would have walked the same way with all the others. And we would have held speeches about God and about God's Word and about the Holy Ghost, holding speeches about it day by day. And we would not have known who God is. We would not have known what the Spirit says unto the churches. We would not have known about all the mysteries of God. And in this respect, I am grateful that Brother Sieg, in a few words, he said very, very much. People can really hold lectures about sanctification, about the Holy Spirit, about every Bible subject, about the end time, about the Bible prophecies. They can hold speeches about everything until it comes to the words of promise. which God has given to His people for this time and determined for this time. Suddenly, one notices the difference. Instead that the people then rejoice that God has addressed a word of promise to us and has fulfilled it, they get angry and say, "We have God, and this is enough for us to be saved." This all could have said also to John the Baptist, "You, we don't need. We have God. We have the services." But God has said, "There will come a preparer of the way. A voice will be heard in the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord." So, not only to confess with the mouth, but to believe wholeheartedly and also accept it in its realization. Everything else remains a theory and leads to a very terrible disappointment at the end of our course of faith. I hope that these remarks did not hurt anyone, but that they can and will help us, that we understand better what a grace it is in this time to have been pardoned by God in the true sense of the word, namely according to the scripture. And this Moses said at that time to his God who called him, "If I have found grace in thy sight, then let me know thy ways." If people have found grace before God, then they will recognize His ways and walk on it. Also, I myself have heard a number of remarks that one rejects the prophet sent from God and says it's a different time and so forth. Let us make no mistake. God sends His servants and prophets to reveal unto us the word and the will of God. And then we no longer need anything other than to do the revealed will of God. Then we don't need anyone to take over from someone who leads us then in a totally different direction. We only need the power of the Holy Spirit to really be able to do the revealed will of God. More we don't need. But sadly, as we all know, everything else also takes place, and this in a very large number. And there, a test is given to us, which we have to stand at all costs. And I was just earlier reminded on a word to which we will still come this afternoon. I have never seen it before in that light in which I have seen it just now, about half an hour ago. God allows tests to come also upon people who both, who have become partakers of His Spirit and of His Word. And if these two things apply, and the people turn away and walk on their own ways, then it is impossible to again return to the truth. There is a line which may not be crossed over for people to whom God reveals Himself, to whom He reveals His word and by it His will. Them He wants to include into His will. Through them His will shall be done, and to them we must belong, we want to belong. And it's necessary to be sanctified in the truth. And His word is and remains the truth. Until the return of the Lord, I don't need any further or new revelation about anything. I only need the grace of God to be kept in His word, to have part in everything what God will still do when the time comes for it. And I think it will be with all of us like this. There are people who always have their ears only open for some sensation. And this means that they didn't understand God's word. Let us start with the prophet Isaiah, with chapter 42. Today is the day of Pentecost, and we wished that the Lord could pour out His Spirit in a mighty way. Let us briefly find out how and in what way the Spirit of God worked. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Here it is mainly about the statement, I have put my Spirit upon him. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, of whom it speaks here in the prophecy, was begotten by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. We, as sons and daughters of God, must be born again by the Spirit of God and must be filled with the Spirit of God. At that time, we read it yesterday in Salzburg, and the brothers and sisters are sending greetings to all of you. At that time, when our Lord was baptized, the Spirit of God came down upon him. The heaven was opened. You can all read it in the Gospel of Matthew, but perhaps we should read it together so that you understand what it is all about. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So far, this word of God. The heavens were opened. The access to the throne of God is free. We don't have to pray anymore for it, that the heavens open. Heaven is open. The way is free. Through Calvary, through Jesus Christ, all this took place. In Isaiah 48, we read, in verse 16, Isaiah 48, verse 16, Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, who leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. God sends always both His Word and His Spirit. His Word must be there so that the Spirit can accomplish through the Word what was spoken in the Word. The Spirit of God hovered over the deep, we don't know for how long. But in the moment when the Word came forth, it happened. The Spirit of God can be a long time over a person. Only then, when the Word of God comes forth, the Spirit of God can make the Word unto a divine reality. Otherwise, the Spirit of God, or the outpouring of the Spirit, is like a mighty rain. Can the earth bring something forth alone by the rain? No. There must be a seed. A seed must have been sown. In Matthew 13, we are told of the good sower, and this is the Son of Man. The Word of God is the seed, and we, as the divine seed of the promise, receive the Word of the divine promise, and then comes the Spirit of promise to quicken in us the Word of the divine promise. Did we get this? Both is written, of the Word of promise and of the promise of the Father in reference to the Holy Spirit. We are, according to what Paul has written to the Galatians, as Isaac, we are the children of promise. And because we are the children of promise, we believe the Word of the divine promise and have an inner agreement, a perfect yes in our hearts to the Word of the divine promise. Then comes the Spirit of God upon us to make this Word alive. In Romans chapter 8, we have in three different verses three special thoughts which have been expressed. Let us read them now. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So there must be people on earth at the return of Jesus Christ who believe that their mortal bodies will be changed according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 51, that mortality must put on immortality and corruption must put on incorruption. At the return of Jesus Christ, there will be people on earth who will have part in the rapture. The condition for the rapture is the faith in the changing of our mortal bodies. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This mortal must be swallowed up by immortality. It must be replaced. So this word speaks of the moment of the changing of our mortal bodies. It is not just enough that we wait for the rapture. We must believe that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can not only change us in our soul, but that He can also change our body. Don't ask how this shall take place. This is God's task and business. If I would have to do it, then I would be worried how it shall be done. But God has taken all the responsibility for it. However, as a man who would like to be healed must believe in the promise that the Lord is our physician and has healed us already after the body, to then be able to receive the healing. So we, as people who wait for their Lord, must not only believe that He returns and that a rapture and before that the resurrection takes place, but we must believe that He will quicken our mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in us. Not through a new doctrine about seven thunders or eighth seal, no, but through His Spirit who dwells in us. Everything else are things which lead around reality, and may God keep us from it. In whom dwells the Spirit of God? In those who received the word of the divine promise. And I am convinced, if it hasn't taken place yet, then it will still take place as true as God has given the promise. God can do everything, but He cannot lie. His mouth is the mouth of the eternal truth. He has awakened in us the living hope to have part in the first resurrection. We believe that His last message in the last church age by the last messenger has gone forth. We believe the word as it was preached and left unto us. But we don't dare, and we will never add something to it or take something away from it. But in the faith, we want to increase. We want to be settled and strengthened, becoming more and more certain the closer this day comes, to finally have a joy in us worked by God for this great event on which we are all waiting. If I would ask today, who is looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, then probably not many hands will go up, whether you can understand this now or not. But one thing I want to say, if you cannot believe it, then I believe for you, for the word's sake, because I know that God cannot make empty promises, but that He must stand to His word. He cannot change His mind. Far from it. No, it was in His plan before the foundation of the world that we as sons and daughters of God shall be with him. By the way, who of you has read already the second brochure? Let me see your hands. Only a few. It seems most of you didn't get it yet, but then it is already on the way. It was sent out, and if not, you can take it with you. Next, I want to read from Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God. Where does the Spirit of God lead? Always into the Word of God. There is an absolute inseparable connection between Word and Spirit of God. For the Word is breathed from the Spirit. It is Spirit inspired. Without Spirit, there would be no Word at all. And therefore, our Lord said, the words which I speak unto you, these are Spirit and life. Spirit-worked life comes only by the Spirit-worked Word of God. Everything else is religious vibration which we somehow cherish. An atmosphere which can be created all over so nicely. There is no lack of that. And there one sees then the multitudes. Because nobody will get to hear something that they would have to cope with first of all. Everything runs down so smoothly and then goes out again. No, God sends His Word to make us well. He sent His servants and prophets at all times. And what does the one prophet write? To cut the people into pieces. I don't know whether I can find this scripture straight away. I know it's either in Hosea or in Amos. But most probably I will not find it. It's the place where he says, after 2 days, I will call you again and receive you. There the Lord speaks of that what had to be accomplished by the word of His servants and prophets. Namely, that they had to hit hard with the word. They didn't want to do it, but they had to. I look here on Hosea 14, but that's not the one. Most certainly, here, Hosea chapter 6, Hosea chapter 6, from verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for He has torn, and He will heal us. He has smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Most certainly, I mean still another place. You all know, who knows the Holy Scripture well? Who of you has read the Old Testament? I hope all. For all of it is God's holy word. He sends His word, this was our thought, through His servants and prophets. And this word is then sharper than any two-edged sword. But right through that, we are detached, separated, and suddenly we are misunderstood by all men because we walk on the way of God. The same it is in this time. If we speak about that God used Brother Branham in a mighty way, then the greatest evangelists say Amen, and many others also. And if we would say that he was used like a pole, then they say, that's right. And they go even further and say, he was the most humble man whom we have seen in our time with our own eyes. But if it then goes even further and you say, listen, the Lord has promised, oh, then all coziness is at its end. And I ask you why? Because in that moment where all evangelists and preachers who are so celebrated, if they would acknowledge that God has sent a prophet according to his word, then they would know that his message, which he brought from the word of God, is binding for them, that it was also addressed to them, and they want to calm their conscience. They take one pill after the other, but they don't get well. They just sleep and dream. And if one wakes them up, then they like to sleep on. But thanks be to God that he has sent us this shaking, correcting message, which is against all the existing knowledge, to call us out and separate us from all the religious things, and to bring us into the greatest disrepute man can ever be brought into. You may say, huh, this I don't understand. Shall I read it to you from Luke chapter 6? This is a scripture which suddenly comes into my mind, and here I will be certain. Oh, I thought to be certain. Where is this scripture which I just read recently, where they said, where did he get this from? And they were offended at him, for they said, we know him and his brothers and his sisters, they dwell among us. And they all were offended at him. Is it maybe Luke 4? Luke 4, perhaps. Let us see whether it's right. From verse 31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. Maybe I don't need to read all of it. The people noticed his power. He did what no other could do. And in verse 34 it says, no, it seems it's not the right place. Brother Schmidt, help me. You heard this scripture when we read it. Here you can see that I get old. In previous days, I knew this scripture inside out. When you have found it, you can tell it to me. For this was one of the most important scriptures with the people who really got offended at the Lord, although they have seen and heard all these things. Yes, now I have it. Mark 6. Mark chapter 6. Namely, Mark 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Can you imagine this? That people were offended at our Lord and Redeemer. On one hand, they saw what he has done, and they said, never has a man spoken as this one speaks. Never happened what is happening now. There they were spiritually aligned. But suddenly they have put their focus on the earthly things. And they said to themselves, but this is the son of Mary, him she had already before. And then these brothers here, and then his sisters. Yes, and right this man, where from shall this man have all this? And they were offended. When were they offended? Not when they were blessed, not when they were healed, not when they overlooked all the earthly things. There they blessed and praised God and said, verily, a great prophet is amongst us. But when they were thinking humanly, reasoning humanly, making comparisons, they were offended. And they said, one moment, how can one bring that now on one denominator? They were offended. People who have heard and seen, and not only seen somebody, but Jesus Christ himself. It can happen. It happened with Brother Branham. And it can happen with me. And with every man of God, this can happen. That people make earthly comparisons. And they say, how can this be? And already they are offended. Don't ask, how can this be? Get thankful that God has spoken and worked. He allows things to happen to a very specific purpose, which you and I probably don't understand. But he says, blessed is he who is not offended at me. And all who were offended at him, they were left behind. They were left behind and followed him no more. They got more pious. That's right. They got more righteous. This is right. But they were left behind. They followed him no more. Beloved, these are very decisive truths. We must follow our Lord through heights and lows until the end. Whether we understand a thing or whether we don't understand it, we must believe if we want to stand our ground before God. All who believed, they walked forward. And as long as the crowd heard the Lord and believed him and without any reasoning followed him, everything was all right. Suddenly, the reasonings came. Who is this one? From where does he get his power? From where the wisdom? How can he know the scriptures so? Yes. And then came this human bridge of comparisons. Is this not the son of Mary? Are not his brothers here? Do not his sisters stay here? If we, in the kingdom of God, make humanly judgments, receiving human thoughts in us, then it can happen to us that we are left behind, although God has blessed us and healed us and have heard his word. This is a strong lesson, and this we really want and must take to heart. If we follow the Lord, then until the end. Amen. And what does Paul say? From now on, we know no one anymore after the flesh. Even we would have known the Lord after the flesh, yet now we no longer know him in this way. We have been placed into the kingdom of God, and God may allow earthly things to happen, which are to us either a stumbling block or a step on which we can get higher. It can be both. Jesus Christ was to some the rock of offense, the stumbling block over which they stumbled and over which they have fallen. For the others, he was the opposite. the rock of salvation, the precious cornerstone upon which they were grounded and were built up, the same Lord, the same word, the same message, the same ministry can be to some this and to the others that. And Paul says, to some we are a sweet-smelling savor unto life, and to the others a smell of death unto death. And whoever looks at the body, in which anyhow a bit corruption is, he then soon has the smell of death. But he who looks at the soul, at the spirit, at the divine, he knows what Jesus has said. John 5:24, that we crossed over from death into life. And what does our Lord say in John chapter 11? He that believeth on me shall live though he were dead. When you come too close to a mortal, and we are all mortals, then it can happen to us that you can feel somewhere a smell of death. But if we have the grace of God to judge one another according to that what God has made out of us, then we are raised up above all temporal things and sit in heavenly places and say thanks to God and are built up in the Spirit unto an holy habitation of God in the Spirit. But this is necessary. He who looks to the earthy will not see the divine. But he who has the divine in focus cannot just see the earthly. You can either have the one or the other. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 27, Romans 8, verse 27, it says, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Here it is about the thought to understand the language of the Spirit. People who have the Holy Spirit in themselves speak the language of the Spirit. And the language of the Spirit is always the language of the Word of God. More spiritual than God, nobody can be. But the strange thing is that those people who think to be so spiritual, they don't even know the language of the Spirit, let alone can speak it. Neither they feel like to take part in a language course. The language of God is the language of the Spirit, and this you cannot learn. The Spirit which we receive, it is the Spirit of God who speaks in us the language of God. Whether in prayer, whether in singing, whether in preaching, whatever it is about, a person who has the Spirit of God will speak the language of the Spirit. He will not speak of his reasonings. He lets God's word speak, for therein we have the answer. The word in Romans 9, I want to read still. Romans 9, verse 1 and 2. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. You can read on this scripture. Here Paul had his people, the Jews, in focus and had great sorrow in his heart because they didn't recognize the day of God's gracious visitation. This divine love for his people caused a great pain. It says a continual pain. Earlier he says, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. For me, this is very precious. Not just that one recites something inside out, but because it is grounded on the Word of God. And this I will show you by reading to you the argumentation of this man of God. In the same chapter, Romans 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. What does the apostle set forth here? He was worried about the people of God, the people with whom God made a covenant, whom he has given promises, whom he entrusted the giving of the law, whom he has given the service of God. And Paul had to watch it, how they all walk on their own ways. And the plan of God and God's day of grace didn't recognize. What is today with us? We see the people of God in general, and no joy comes up. We know that the children of God are scattered in all denominations. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. Everywhere there are sincere people, but they didn't recognize the day of God's gracious visitation. Paul says, this the Holy Spirit testifies to me. He sees people after which God stretched out his arms all day long. He sees people of whom Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Not New York or Zurich or Athens or Jerusalem, my people Israel. Ye, the descendants of Abraham, I wanted to gather you, but you didn't want. Today, we are filled with the same deep pain. A pain, but the Holy Spirit bears witness to us that all whom God ordained before the foundation of the world to behold his glory, they will be called out and be led into his truth, being settled and grounded in it, and sanctified and kept after spirit, soul, and body, until the day when the Lord will return to change this mortal body into immortality. What did Paul line out when he expressed this sorrow? And he said, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He straightway refers to the Word of God, and he says, listen, with you God made the covenant. You belong into his plan, into his program, and you don't want, oh, that I could be cast out, if you only then would be put in. That's how I feel, not only once, that's how I feel very often. What would I do to help the people who have their services, who sing and pray, and with the nicest sermons are being led around the will of God? There one should not feel pain, and this the Holy Spirit testifies to me, that all who bypass the word of promise for this time, they bypass God, and they don't let themselves be placed into his program. God has only one plan. He has only one program. And whoever is not placed into it, he simply remains outside. And there we are filled with a very deep pain. However, God knows His own, and He will call them out. Those who are already in the truth, they should read Hebrews 6 a couple of times. Hebrews 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Let us leave it with the reading of this word. You can later on read further. Here, nothing was left out, but everything is mentioned. The enlightenment, the partaking of the Holy Ghost, tasting the heavenly gift, having received the good word of God, and tasted the powers of the world to come, and then fall away. This is worse and more terrible, as if one would never have heard of God and the grace of God. People who experienced all this and then turn away for whatever reason, they always have a reason. There is not one person who could not tell you a plausible reason. And if he says, I was offended at the brother, or I stumbled over the sister, or this brother Branham didn't say correctly, or that brother Frank has done wrong, there is 1001 reason which we can say to turn away. But this I tell you, all these reasons are not valid before God. Your faith is independent of any man. And if it is not independent, then it has become high time that it has become independent. God knows exactly what He does. He wants to have people who are bound to Him, who believe His word, and who do what He has said. In Titus chapter 3, we are told so nicely in summary for what the Holy Spirit was sent. Titus chapter 3 from verse 4 to 7. But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Here it speaks of the new birth, of renewing, but also of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, everything is contained. The new birth, the renewing, everything what goes with it, up to the anointing, to the equipping with the power from on high. Everything is contained in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as certain as Calvary and the resurrection and the ascension was an event in the plan of salvation, So Pentecost is an event in the plan of salvation. Just as we were crucified with Christ and have died, just as we were buried with Him, and according to the Scripture, we have risen with Him unto a new life. So we must also believe that it is Him who baptizes us with the Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit was poured out. Not that we preach about it, that we receive Him, that we thank God, just as we thank God for Calvary, as we thank God for everything what happened for us. Thus, we must thank the Lord also for the being filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't need to pray anymore, "Oh Lord, would you please die for me?" No, you just need to believe that He did die for you. You also don't need to pray, "Lord, would you please rise? He is risen, and you with Him." You also don't need to pray, "Lord, pour out your Spirit." We just need to pray, "Faithful God in heaven, make me able as your child to be filled with your Spirit, whom you poured out and who will remain here until our bodies were changed and we be taken up into glory, that this Spirit of God could really fill us all as on the day of Pentecost. Peter didn't preach a sermon. The believers were gathered in one accord and the Holy Spirit came down. Show me one scripture where again a rushing came from heaven. No, this came one single time. But I can show you many scriptures where the same Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost with a mighty rushing, filled the believers in the same way as then at the beginning. Right? And when Peter had to justify himself, he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we at the beginning?" It's no more written of rushing, but the same Holy Ghost, the same effects, the same authority, the same anointing, equipping with the power from on high. I tell you one thing. If we today can thank God for the outpouring of His Spirit above us and upon all of His people with all our hearts out of conviction, then it will be given to us. When do you experience Calvary? Of course, not as long as you beg, but until you broke through to the certainty of faith. And suddenly, you see Jesus on the cross by faith. And then you are saved at the same hour, as the German song goes. That's how it is also with the Spirit baptism. I know if you receive it immediately by becoming a believer or a few days later, then it is much easier than if that happens much later. Years back, it was still so that all this belonged together. The becoming a believer, the being baptized, water baptism, Spirit baptism, everything was very close together. I comfort myself, God knows my heart, that we now live in a prophetic age and that God doesn't want anymore that the one starts with this and the other starts with that, but that we all quietly receive God's holy word as a seed and are brought into this total divine unity, to then walk together in one spirit, in one faith, under the rulership of the one Lord Jesus Christ, walking in unity together on our way with God. If you doubt it, then I ask you the following question. Into how many directions do all those walk today who confess with their mouths to have received the Holy Ghost? Up to the charismatic movement, up to Rome. There is even today a Catholic Pentecostal movement. Very officially, it's written black on white in a recent church history document. Yes, but where is the Church of the Living God? Where are those who really believe the word of the Lord and receive it? If God walks with us such a way, then we want to be grateful for it. And then it will not only be an anointing in our second realm, namely in our spirit, then it will be a sealing in our soul. And that is what matters. Many were anointed and have done mighty deeds and are still doing them. But where do they walk? They bypass what God promised. The two scriptures from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 and the place from Ephesians 4 verse 30. I don't need to read them anymore. You all know them. Namely, of the sealing. What is sealed? What does God say through the prophet Isaiah? Seal my word in my disciples. Then Daniel 12. Seal the book until the end time. Then Revelation 5. A book sealed with the seven seals. And then in Revelation 10. An open book. God has people in the last generation who not only have blissful feelings, who are not just anointed with the Holy Spirit, but people who are sealed. But the sealing can only then take place if the divine, the eternal remaining word could be born in you. Therefore, it is written that we were sealed after we have received the word of truth. Ezra said, I didn't want to read it, but perhaps it is better. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You see what's all about? In the gospel, in the prophets all over, the word of truth is contained in the Old and in the New Testament. Ye were sealed after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Do you know what is sealed in you and in me? The divine, which the Lord could do in the blood-bought flock through His word and through His spirit. And if it happened in you and in me, then you and I are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here is again the word promise. So, let us summarize. There is a word of the divine promise. There are people who receive and believe the promises of God, and it is the Holy Spirit of promise who in those who believe the word of the divine promise is not only an anointing, not only an equipment to the ministry, but a sealing. And this means he who was sealed, he is untouchable until his destination. He is kept for God until he comes from believing unto seeing. Whoever has an anointing, he can have it today. Tomorrow the Lord can say to him, I don't know you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Despite of casting out devils, despite prophesying and doing miracles, the Lord says, I don't know you. And they say, in your name we have done all that. This didn't change anything in the matter. We notice what matters, not just to walk on with the multitudes, to rejoice when it is rejoiced, and to sing when they sing, but to walk with God. And with God only he walks who receives the word for this time. With this he shows his first respect for Almighty God or not. Whoever bypasses what God promised, where does he honor God? He honors men. He honors himself. Whoever honors God believes his word. And whoever has reverence before God has reverence before his word. And what does God say through the prophet Isaiah? I dwell with them who have a broken heart and are of a humble spirit, and who tremble when they think on my word. Today, to the greatest so-called evangelists and men of God, you can read them the most wonderful word. They don't tremble at all. They have a compassionate smile, and they look at you and think, huh, they are naive enough to believe that. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Before God can walk on with us, this fear of God must have entered. Blessed is the man who trembles even today, alone when he thinks on his word, on the word of God, receiving in holy reverence that what he has said. As then, on that day of Pentecost, so in the course of almost 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit came upon all who became believers. May the Lord be able to make a true beginning, that we make ourselves available for him totally, believing with all our hearts to have been justified by the one who is just and holy, who has taken our place and who shed his blood for an atonement, believing that we in him who was sanctified for us, that we have been sanctified in his word, believing that we will be with him in glory. Also believing that he has given us already his Holy Spirit. He was poured out. I like to repeat myself here, and with it I come to a close. Just as we may thank the Lord by faith that we died with him, being buried with him, that we rose together with him, and that we sit with him in heavenly places, let us also believe that it is him of whom John said, I am not worthy to unloose the latchet of his shoes. I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus Christ is here today to do this on you and on me. As He is here to give deliverance, to give redemption, which was given long ago, so He is here to give us His Spirit, whom He has given long ago, with the difference that you receive it now very personally by faith and let it become your personal experience with God. The event of Pentecost is not a doctrine but an experience with God. Can you all believe it? If we today thank the Lord sincerely, as for Calvary, as for forgiveness, for redemption, for grace, for everything what He has given to us, to us it was given. Him we want to thank that He has baptized us with the Spirit and fire. Thank Him and you will see the Holy Spirit will just come into us and suddenly flowing out from us. For Jesus said in John 7 from verse 36, on the last day of the feast, when the Spirit will come, He will be in you a well of water springing up into eternal life. In us a fountain shall break forth. And today we want to thank God that also Pentecost, as Calvary and resurrection, belongs to us and that we experienced it with God, and then it will be given to us. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. O Lord, bless all. Come with your Spirit. Come with your power. Upon your blood-bought multitude, may your word be mighty at work and your Holy Spirit in the blood-bought flock. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord today. Once with all your heart, open your mouth, no matter who stands next to you, whether husband or wife, whether father or mother, whether son or daughter, thank the Lord together. Great things He has done for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Everything what has breath, bless the Lord. All that is within me, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He has redeemed my life from destruction and He has crowned us with mercy and loving kindness. He has revealed unto us His word and His will, and He leads us by His Holy Spirit and fills us and seals us unto the day of our bodily redemption. Hallelujah. Lord, make your people happy. Give grateful hearts. We thank you for it, that you do it. Hallelujah. Give a mighty breakthrough, a breakthrough of your Holy Spirit and of your word among your people. We thank you and we worship you. Hallelujah. Let us say together, Hallelujah. 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 Let us say together, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 O Lord, faithful God, loosen us from the earth. Make us totally free. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. There it is blessed There it is praised in old and in new tongues. There it is sung. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you that we not only celebrate Pentecost, but that we may experience it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it to the Lord. Lord, I may experience my Pentecost. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Just as I experienced my redemption, my forgiveness, so I may experience my Pentecost, a confirmation of God that I was received and pardoned. O Lord, thanks be to you. Praise and glory to your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. O God, Almighty God, I thank you very much for that what you have done already, and for that what you will still do. Dear Lord, sustain us and keep us under your blood and in your word and under the leading of your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, we wish to see shortly your stretched out arm. Hallelujah. As in Bible days, in the time of the early rain, so it shall take place at the end of days, during the time of the latter rain, that God's Spirit falls, that God's Word works, yes, that it accomplishes for what it was sent for. Lord, we thank you that you put together your church, equipping her, sealing her, and complete her unto the day of your return. Hallelujah. O Lord, how I wished that all would have your joy in their hearts, your peace, your salvation, your blessing, your grace, and your Holy Spirit, thanking you, glorifying your name, because you have done great things in us. If we are silent, then the stones will cry, Hosanna, be unto the Lord. Hosanna, be unto him who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you and we worship you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to our God. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.